This morning I will be speaking about the way of discipleship, also the cost of discipleship. The word disciple means a learner or a pupil. And discipleship is the process of learning in that field. And you aren't finished learning until your ship reaches the other side. Now my nieces have recently started playing t-ball. And I haven't yet seen them, but I can imagine how it's going. I can imagine that there's a lot of, even though that they want to learn, and they're quick learners, there's a lot of distractions. You know, there's butterflies and insects. There's people, there's other children in the outfield. Not to mention your parents who are right behind you. And you always got to look back for approval and make sure that they're watching you. There's many distractions. And as adults, we are not much different than children. We too are susceptible to be distracted in our lives. And as Christians, we should never allow these distractions, especially the pull of temptations or sin, to take our focus off of Jesus. In Luke 9, which I'll be reading from, and is a parallel chapter to Matthew 8, Jesus teaches us the way of discipleship, as well as the cost. And so I'll read from Luke 9 and verses 57 to 62. Luke 9, verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid farewell, which are at my home and my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. In the parallel verses of Matthew 8 and in verse 18, we learn that Jesus had announced that he would go to the other side. He was in Capernaum, and he would go to the other side, meaning the other side of the Sea of Galilee. The discipleship was about to leave, and all his disciples were around. Now, certain men approached Jesus to commit to follow after him. And what do we know about these men? Well, in the passages of Luke, Jesus addresses three unnamed men. And in Matthew, it further adds that the first man was a scribe. A scribe was one learned in the Mosaic law. He was an interpreter, a teacher. He was a disciple himself of the law. Now this scribe desired to be a disciple in the new covenant, the way. In verse 57 it says, And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said. Now this is referring physically, they walked in a certain direction, but metaphorically the way was always attributed to the first believers, the first Christians. It's referred to that in Acts 9, verse 2 and 19, verse 23. It's a reference to John 14, verse 6, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So these men must have felt conviction in their hearts. They must have heard what Jesus had said and believed it, or at least desired to follow after it. But Jesus warns in verse 58 of the sacrifices to be made to follow after him. There was no home for him, as the animals had, because he didn't come to stay, but to provide the way. His home is in heaven, as we know. Philippians 3, verse 20 says that our citizenship, our conversation, is in heaven as well. That's our focus and our goal. It's the other side, as Jesus was saying he was going to. In verse 59, Jesus says to another to simply follow me. But this man had earthly priorities. He had to go bury his father. Now, this may seem harsh, the way Jesus responds to him. But Jesus is teaching a lesson and doing so out of grace. For in verse 60, he says, "Let the dead bury the dead." The word dead used here is nekros in the Greek. It means to either physically be dead, as we know it, or spiritually to be dead, inactive because of sin. Seeing that it is impossible for those who are physically dead to bury the dead, Jesus must be referring to their spiritual deadness. The affairs of the unsaved world will continue as God allows, but we are not to be overwhelmed with them. We are not to worry about them, and we are not to participate and be consumed by worldliness. We are called to follow after Jesus first and to preach the kingdom of God, as he says in verses 60. To preach the kingdom of God. In verse 61, it says, "Then another man addresses Jesus and says he will follow him as well. But it's upon a condition. It's upon his own terms that he can first go say goodbye to his family." This too seems like a very reasonable and even honorable request, something that we would do as well. We read that in the Old Testament, when the prophet Elisha was called by Elijah to follow in his place as God had ordained, Elisha similarly responded in 1 Kings 19, verse 20, and he said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." Elijah granted this request of Elisha because he wanted him to go home to make sure his house was in order, and then he could commit himself completely to the Lord, wholeheartedly, not worrying about the condition of his family. But here in Luke 9, verse 61, the words, "Go bid them farewell," comes from the word apostos. It's similar to apostasy, not the same, but it means to depart from or to renounce, to forsake. The question is, who or what is he wanting to forsake? See, if he's going home to unbelievers to tell them the gospel, to tell them of Jesus, his Messiah, the Messiah had come, that would be good. But he wouldn't forsake them in their sin. And if his family were believers, what would he have to forsake? Perhaps he wanted for a time to depart from Jesus, to turn from him for a period, so he could go back home to his old life, enjoy the earthly pleasures, before making a decision to follow after Christ and give up the world. This question is answered in verse 62, when Jesus says, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." That's not an easy verse. It reminds me of the wife of Lot, who is an example of this. She was saved out of the destruction of Sodom, and yet as she was on the way out with Lot and their daughters, she had to turn back to look upon the sin of Sodom. She had to look back to the old life. And for that, she was turned to a pillar of salt. Hebrews 6, verse 4 to 6, warns us of apostasy, turning your back on God after you've heard the truth. Hebrews 6 and verse 4, "For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame." This is a tough teaching that Jesus is teaching his disciples and those that want to follow after him. It's not speaking of losing your salvation because we fall short. We all fall short. When we fall short, fall into sin, God calls us to repentance. We have a conviction to get right with him, to confess our sin, and seek his Holy Spirit's leading to guide us in truth and light. No, it's addressing those who hear and experience the way of the Lord and forsake it, turn from it, deny Christ. In Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, Jesus said, "Whoever shall confess me before men, will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." But verse 33, he says, "He who denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." So what is it in our own lives that is holding us back, tempting us to look to the left or to the right and not keep our eyes on Jesus? I think of Peter when Jesus walked on water and Peter got out of the boat. And he takes a few steps and he's walking towards Jesus and everything seems fine. But as soon as the wind came up, as soon as there was distractions, as soon as he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. There are many things in our own lives that can distract us. It could be greed or lust, something we covet. Maybe we are invested too much in something in this world that is not honoring to God. If we afford the time for temptation, the bill of sin is shortly behind. But if we invest in the kingdom of God, the rewards will forever be bound. Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 23, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The way is not always easy, but we have a loving and merciful Lord, not desiring any to perish, but all to be saved. All in his timing, and all for his glory. It's through his grace we are saved, and through his grace we are to grow and to live. And so may we continue to press on for Jesus and forsake our old ways, to trust in him and not allow the distractions of this world to take our focus off of Jesus. May the Lord richly bless you in this day.